Terry Ford Show. We are rolling till 6 on y'all new Sports 96.1 Zune. Coming up here in a little bit, we'll start digging into the SEC schedule for this coming up week. Right now, though, let's talk some South Carolina football. Let's get into the go behind the enemy lines, so to speak. Ben Portnoy with us now, South Carolina football reporter for the state newspaper there in Columbia. Ben, thanks for jumping in, man. We appreciate your time. I guess you're a little busy this week.
No worries, Terry. Appreciate you guys having me. Yeah, it's definitely a little crazy, but should be a good one this weekend.
Yeah, we think so, too. We think it'll be a little tight. So one thing that's been talked about here a ton is how crazy and loud Williams-Brice Stadium will be. And how, you know, Kentucky, they've been practicing this week with, you know, speakers out at practice, you know, blaring music and loud noises and all this other stuff. And just get ready for what should be a crazy atmosphere. If folks here don't understand, maybe give them a little idea of what Kentucky's going to run into at that stadium on Saturday night.
Yeah, you know, it should be rocking. And I mean, frankly, I think that starts with Shane Beamer. I mean, he's a guy that's brought a lot of excitement and passion to the program over the last few months since he got hired. And, you know, I mean, look, it's going to be 80,000 strong screaming and yelling. And I think Mark Stoops talked about it earlier this week, the crowing chicken noise, which, to be fair, I'm still getting used to myself. So it's definitely a unique atmosphere. I mean, you know, the one thing that I think South Carolina can hang its hat on is, you know, even if when the program's had its ups and downs, that it always packs out pretty much 80,000 people most weeks. So it's a rocking atmosphere. Williams-Brice Stadium is definitely, you know, up there in terms of game day atmospheres, and it should be a pretty crazy one, especially given, you know, the first SEC home game of the year and really in 2 years to have a full crowd. And you know, it's a new coach, new staff, all of that. And then it's a huge recruiting weekend for South Carolina as well. So, you know, Shane Beamer and the staff have really sort of challenged folks to get to the game, get there early. And if it's not a sellout yet, it's pretty dang close. So it's going to be right up there.
And, of course, everyone will be sober and well-behaved.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right, exactly. Exactly. I think it was Zeb Nolan. The quarterback, was talking to us the other day, and he was like, "Yeah, man, it's great. You know, the game's at 7 o'clock, which gives people plenty of time to get ready tailgating."
All right, we're hanging here talking some South Carolina football. Ben Portnoy, the South Carolina football reporter for the state newspaper there in Columbia, Terry Ford Show on the Sports 96.1 The Zone. Okay, Ben, again, from my distance here in Lexington, just doing what I do to get prepared to talk about South Carolina. Obviously, there's been a quarterback deal. Luke Doty was hurt. Zeb Nolan, who thought he was going to be a grad assistant. Hey, Zeb, throw in some shoulder pads. You got a quarterback. Talk about, I guess, first of all, Zeb's performance in an emergency role, and give us a little heads up on Luke Doty and what to expect Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, look, there aren't too many crazier stories in college football this year, really in the last, like, 5 years from what, you know, Zeb Nolan was doing. Obviously, you mentioned it. I mean, Luke Doty goes down with a foot injury, and this is something that at least the staff has said publicly was something that was discussed, you know, a little bit before that, and that they might want to add some depth to the quarterback room. But, you know, he gets added to the roster. I think, you know, we first see him at practice on a Tuesday. He's on the roster by about Wednesday, and, you know, 2 weeks later, he's starting the season opener. And it's, you know, you're kind of sitting there like, what just happened here? But, you know, it's crazy. I mean, look, Zeb's a guy that played at Iowa State, played at North Dakota State, you know, backed up Brock Purdy, backed up Trey Lance. I mean, he's a guy who's been around some really, really good quarterbacks. So I think it was Shane Beamer who said, like, don't get this twisted, but this is just like, you know, Zeb's just like Uncle Rico walking down the hall talking about his glory days. I'm paraphrasing, but that's not too far off from what he said a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, he's a guy that has played a lot and played a lot of snaps at both, you know, the FBS and FCS level. And, you know, played pretty well through the first couple of games. I mean, generally speaking, limited turnovers. I think he only had one interception in his first two games. You know, went down early against Georgia, but, you know, was largely okay. I think, you know, gave South Carolina enough, but, you know, the reality was, like, they were never going to go out there and ask Zeb Nolan to win them a football game. I mean, it was going to come from other guys and more of a team effort than maybe, you know, some other teams in America that have that, you know, go-to guy quarterback. But, you know, it's going to be Luke Doty's show this weekend. You know, Zeb got hurt. They're expecting him to be able to play on Saturday. But, you know, if Luke Doty's healthy, for all intents and purposes, this is his football team. And, you know, Shane Beamer said as much in the spring before he got hurt. And, you know, barring anything unforeseen, and I say that knowing that we've seen the unforeseen in Luke Doty getting hurt a couple of weeks before the season. But, You know, barring anything unforeseen, he'll be the guy that steps out there, you know, the first snap, first series for South Carolina. And, you know, he's a guy who's got he's a really athletic kid, can move a lot. And, you know, that's what you wonder a little bit is, given that he hurt his foot, how comfortable is he running? He looked pretty good running the football against Georgia, and that's a really tough Georgia defensive front. I think he's frankly a pretty underrated thrower. I mean, he's a guy who's got a pretty strong arm, can get the ball down there. I mean, he had a really nice strike to Josh Van. There was a 36-yard touchdown pass down the left side, just over a defensive back's shoulder against Georgia. It's the first touchdown that anyone scored on Georgia this year. So he's a guy who can sling it a little bit. He can move around, and he makes you definitely think, you know, in terms of the passing and the running game.
Ben Portney hanging out with us, talking some South Carolina football from the state newspaper in Columbia. Terry Ford Show, the All-New Sports 96.1 The Zone. Speaking of this Josh Van fella, I look at stats and numbers. I see a dude who's averaging 28 yards a catch on 10 receptions. So again, I'm not a football guru, but I feel like he's a big play guy, Ben. Am I correct in my assumption of Josh Van?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Josh Van's an interesting case. He's a guy that, you know, came to South Carolina, was a four-star kid, you know, sort of that number, probably about 150 range as far as recruiting services go, but was a guy that could have played just about anywhere in the country. I mean, Georgia wanted him, South Carolina wanted him, Alabama wanted him. I mean, this is a kid that was, you know, seen as a little bit of a coup for South Carolina, and he just really hasn't gotten there in the last few years. You know, some people say it's attitude, some people say it's coaching. It's a mix of both, probably, but, you know, he's really burst onto the scene this year. He's always been a talented guy. We've just never really seen him put it together. I mean, through three games, I think he's a little over 200 and some yards. Well over 200 yards, I should say. And you know, he's already surpassed his season totals for each of the last 3 years. I mean, he's, I think, fourth in the SEC in average receiving yards a game. He's averaging like just under 100 yards a game. I mean, he's a guy that can take the top off of a defense. And I mean, shoot, he had 130 yards last week at Georgia, a little under 130 yards against Georgia, had 94 in the first game, I think, on about two catches. So a guy that can really blow the top off. And I mean, look, he's one of those guys that I think that, you know, as we've seen, shoot, at Kentucky, I mean, at Lynn Bowden, right? Like, he's a guy that you can just get the ball, let him go to work, but also just, you know, if you want to need him to make a play, put it up there and let him go get it. I mean, he made two or three jump ball catches at Georgia last week that were really, really impressive, where he just went up and straight out just out-muscled a guy. And that, it's been really impressive to watch the first few weeks.
We are talking Ben Portnoy, South Carolina football reporter for the state newspaper here on the Terry Ford Show, All New Sports 96.1 The Zone. Okay, again, Ben, just from my research, because I spend way too much time looking at a laptop, it feels like South Carolina offensive line has had some issues this year. Give us a little idea about the South Carolina offensive line. Is it a weakness like we would read and think? Is it a work in progress? Has there been some injuries? Or maybe, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. You just feel free. Jump on in.
No, you're not too far off, and it's definitely been a little bit of a mess. I mean, I think, look, that this is a South Carolina offensive line that when you look at it, you break it down. I mean, between the starters and the guys that have played, I mean, you brought back over 100 appearances between those guys. I mean, it's a group that's played a lot of football. Now, whether they've played effective football is maybe a different discussion, but, you know, it's a group that has played a lot of snaps and has been together and played together. Now, it just hasn't been there. I mean, like, you know, look, against a team like Georgia, you're going to expect the defensive line to get a push. I mean, with what that group is and what they've got at linebacker as well, like, Georgia's going to create problems. But the questions I've had more than anything is, I think Georgia's kind of where the whole thing came to a head, at least over the last few weeks. But I mean, Eastern Illinois got some pressure on South Carolina. East Carolina certainly caused some problems, and South Carolina's offense looked, I mean, there aren't enough iterations of the word bad to describe South Carolina's offense over the first, like, 20 minutes of that East Carolina game. So, look, credit to them. They hung in there, and they won the game, and that's a separate thing, and that's all good and well. But they looked really, really bad those first few quarter and a half, really. So I think that if you're South Carolina, I mean, like, this is a group that has experience, has a bunch of guys who've played some snaps. You know, maybe you don't have an NFL guy like, you know, Sedarius Hutcherson, the guy who left from last year's team and was kind of an anchor, and you got to replace that, and that takes time, but I mean, South Carolina's offensive line has not been played well. There's not really a good explanation for it other than it just hasn't clicked. And I think, you know, it's still three games in. You've played Georgia, you've played East Carolina, and you've played Eastern Illinois. Like, none of those are really barometers for an SEC team and a team like South Carolina that's probably, you know, on the lower end to the middle of the pack in the East at best. So I just don't think that not in a real feel. I think this week against Kentucky on a lot of levels, I think, is a little bit of a measuring stick for the South Carolina team.
Okay, Ben, last two things, and then we'll let you run and go tailgate and get prepared. Like the fan base. It's always going to be well lubricated when you cover a game. Anyway, first of all right, so obviously Will Muschamp gets canned after a 2-5 start, and there's going to be the search for the head coach. Names are thrown out everywhere and whatever the case. Then you hear South Carolina hires Shane Beamer. What was your first thought to the Shane Beamer hiring?
I think it's interesting. I mean, I think that, you know, when you dig into it and you look at it a little bit, like, Shane's a guy who's been around programs that have won. I mean, regardless of where he's been from, you know, the time he got out of school to at Virginia Tech to now, I mean, he's been with winning football programs. And, I mean, the biggest knock on Shane, obviously, that he's never been an offensive and defensive coordinator. He's been a special teams coordinator. He's been an assistant head coach, you know, those kinds of things. But, you know, I mean, just look at the last 5 years. He's been at Oklahoma for 3 years. He spent 2 years at Georgia. And, I mean, we all know what those schools are in the grand landscape of college football. And he was at, you know, Virginia Tech for a few years before that. He was at Mississippi State under Sylvester Croom. I mean, his first job as a graduate assistant was under Phil Fulmer when Tennessee was still clicking. You know, maybe it feels like a million years ago, but it wasn't that long ago.
Right.
You know, like, he's a guy who's been around some really, really good head coaches. And even, you know, before that, he worked as an assistant in the weight room for George O'Leary for like 6 months at Georgia Tech. So, you know, I mean, this is a guy who has been around some really, really good college football coaches. And I think that, you know, I think you definitely see every now and then some inklings where it's like, okay, yeah, he's a first-year head coach. He's still figuring this thing out. But, I mean, for the most part, like, you look at what the modern-day college football coach is, right, as an energizer, a guy who can relate to players, who's a little bit, you know, the big thing with Shane Beamer and his staff has been, you know, loving on each other and that kind of thing. And it feels like a switch from Will Muschamp, and whether that's right or wrong, I don't know whether it's fair to indict the guy, but you know, I think that people saw Will as a guy who was a little bit quieter, less rah-rah, maybe a little grouchy, for lack of a better term. And, you know, I think that Shane's – and I think Shane's like the polar opposite of that. I mean, look, like, the guy's charismatic. He's out there. You're not surprised that he, you know, connects with recruits well. I mean, you know, you dig into it a little more even. You know, Shane was the recruiting coordinator for Steve Spurrier in 09 and 2010. And South Carolina ripped off 11-win seasons in 2011, 12, and 13. So – you know, the guys that they were winning with were guys that Shane Beamer oversaw their recruitment. Now, of course, other guys played hands in that, and, you know, you can never really tell one way or the other whether one guy's super involved with a recruit or not. But, I mean, Shane Beamer was in the room for those conversations and was around for that stuff. So I think that, you know, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But as far as fit and that kind of thing, I mean, it makes sense. He's been at South Carolina when South Carolina was rolling, and, you know, you'd think that it makes sense. But, sure, there were some other guys out there that might have been bigger names or, you know, might have been the sexier hire. But I think that in terms of what South Carolina wanted, as far as, you know, a guy to rally a fan base that was, frankly, just pretty frustrated, I think that, you know, he's a guy that can do that for you.
All right, Ben Portnoy, South Carolina football reporter for the state newspaper. Does South Carolina cover the 5, or are you taking Kentucky and giving the points? That's the important question in this conversation.
Man, I probably shouldn't tell people to spend their money, but I'm going to say that Kentucky covers. I think that Kentucky wins this game. I think that on paper, Kentucky's a more talented team. They're just a little bit better coached. And, you know, that's not necessarily an indictment on South Carolina right now, but I think it's, you know, it's year one. They're still figuring things out. And I think that, you know, when you open the schedule and you look at this, like, Mark Stoops has won, what, 5 of the last 6 against Kentucky, against South Carolina? I think he's won 6 out of 8 against South Carolina since he's been at Kentucky. I mean, you know, the smart money is probably on Kentucky. I think I picked Kentucky to win this game like 31-23 or 31-21, somewhere in there. I think there'll be some points scored, and I think it'll be a decent game, but I think Kentucky is going to be a little too much.
Ben Portnoy, who's putting his life savings on Kentucky. Good deal, Ben. All right. South Carolina football reporter for the state newspaper. Hey, Ben, thanks a lot for hanging out with us. We'll bug you again sometime if you don't mind.
Yeah, Terry, would love to. Appreciate y'all having me.
Thank you, Ben. You have a good one now, my friend. Enjoy yourself Saturday.
You too.
Ben Portnoy, South Carolina football reporter for the state newspaper. We'll get back in here. Let's start digging into the SEC schedule for Saturday. Terry Ford Show, we're hanging here until 6, all new Sports 96.1 is on.